'Twas late in 19 when the virus began, bringing chaos and fear to all people, each land. People were sick, hospitals full, doctors overwhelmed, no one in school. People hid in their homes from the enemy unseen. They YouTubed and Zoomed, social distanced and cleaned. April approached and churches were closed. There won't be an Easter, the world supposed. There won't be church services and egg hunts are out. No reason for new dresses when we can't go about. Holy Week started as bleak as the rest. The world was focused on masks and on tests. Easter can't happen this year, they proclaimed. Online and at home, it just won't be the same. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the days came and went. The virus pressed on. It just would not relent. The world woke Sunday and nothing had changed. The virus still menaced. The people estranged. Poo-poo to the saints, the world was grumbling. They're finding out now that no Easter is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a moment or two. And then all the saints will cry, boo-hoo. That noise said the world will be something to hear. So it paused and the world put a hand to its ear. And it did hear a sound coming through all the skies. It started down low and then it started to rise. But the sound wasn't depressed. Why, the sound was triumphant. It couldn't be so, but it grew with abundance. The world stared around, popping its eyes, then it shook. What it saw was a shocking surprise. Each saint in each nation, the tall and the small, was celebrating Jesus in spite of it all. It hadn't stopped Easter from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the world, with its life quite stuck in quarantine, stood puzzling and puzzling. Just how can it be? It came without bonnets. It came without bunnies. It came without egg hunts, cantatas, or money. And then the world thought of something it hadn't before. Maybe Easter, it thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Easter, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, the story's not done. What will you do? Will you share with that one? Or two, or more people needing hope in this night, will you share of the source of your life in this fight? The churches are empty, but so is the tomb, and Jesus is victor over death, doom, and gloom. And so this year at Easter, let this be our prayer as the virus still rages all around everywhere. May the world see hope when it looks at God's people. May the world see the church is not a building or steeple. May the world find faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. May the world find joy in a time of dejection. May 2020 be known as the year of survival, but not only that, let it start a revival.
Well, welcome to all of you, wherever you might be watching this. Blessed, happy, joyful Resurrection Sunday. It really is my prayer that today you would be overflowing with the joy of the Lord, that you'd just be so aware of His goodness, that your life and your heart would be flooded with hope today. It is a good day. It is definitely the most unusual Easter that I've ever had in my life, and most of you will probably be able to say the same, but I am just rejoicing in God's goodness. On behalf of the pastoral families, I want to wish each one of you a happy Easter. We recognize how blessed we've been to be able to stay together on site and be able to work together as a team, get to know each other on a more personal level, and also to just come up with ways of getting God's word out there over the last little while. And now we've got a couple of extra weeks to refine our skills and things like that. But we really, really are very, very grateful. So grateful as well for all the interaction that we've been able to have with you as members of our church, as part of our church community. We've just enjoyed the encouragement, the messages, the prayer requests. Some of you have been sending in, just saying how much you're enjoying going to church in your pajamas. I'm glad, but but that's going to end at some point as well, okay? And we really are waiting. We can't wait to get together as a church again and to enjoy proper fellowship. But until that comes, we are connected. And I must say, I feel more connected to the church, not just Durban North Community Church, but the church globally at the moment than I think I've ever felt in my life. I feel part of something much bigger, a move of God that's just sweeping all over the world. We're aware that we belong to this broader, great collection of believers called the church. And wherever you are meeting today, whatever part of the world, we join with countless others who celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been speaking a lot over the last couple of days about his death on the cross, about the words spoken by Jesus from the cross and all that was accomplished from the cross and his great love poured out to us in his death. But if it weren't for Resurrection Sunday, if it weren't for the fact that Jesus is alive, then all of that would mean nothing. It would just be a sad story. It'd be something to grieve over, something to mourn over, but there'd be no hope at the end of the day. In fact, Paul says we would be the kind of people that need to be pitied more than anybody else on the planet. But the story never ended on the cross. The story reaches its climax in Jesus' resurrection. And so I would say to you, with many millions around the world, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he lives, it changes everything. Because he lives, and I want to just share 3 points with you this morning. I won't be too long. But because he lives, all fear is gone. Firstly, the fear of death is nullified as Jesus conquered death that day. This terrifying thought that many of us maybe have struggled with, that one day life just simply ends, our bodies give out, and that is the end of our existence. And it creates in ourselves so much fear. No, because he lives, I believe that I will live too. And Paul, quoting some of the Old Testament prophets in 1 Corinthians 15, he says this, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Because Jesus rose from the dead, death is now defeated. This terrifying enemy that used to hang like a cloud over our heads as the ultimate end to life simply now becomes the means by which we transition into the life that we have always wanted, that God has prepared and even created us for." So again, Paul says this, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." In some of the other translations, it says, "For me to live is for Christ, to die is even better." The Message paraphrase says, "It's a win-win situation. For me to now live is Christ, but when death comes, it is welcomed because I will now be with my Savior eternally in the life that he has prepared for me. It's not this terrifying enemy anymore." In some senses, maybe even a welcome passage from this present world. Until then, until that day comes for me, I live for Christ. I invest myself completely in his cause. And what do I have to fear? What do I have to fear? The worst thing that could happen to me is that God releases me into my eternal home. And besides just this fear of death being defeated, my fear of failure is also destroyed by the resurrection. The fear that I might never measure up to the righteousness of God, the fear that I may somehow fall short, and the word tells us that all of us have fallen short because we mess up, we sin, we're broken people. But the Lamb without blemish was crucified in my place, and Jesus Christ is good enough. He is worthy. And because of his sacrifice, my sin is paid for. And I'm now given this gift, this free gift from God that I could never earn, the status righteous before God, righteous before him. So my fear of failure, my fear of not being good enough is also destroyed at the cross of Christ. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And then secondly, because he lives, I have a living hope. And what exactly is it that I'm hoping for? Well, my hope is to be with him in glory. And this is a hope anchored in the faithfulness of God, in the words that he's spoken. God, who has never lied, has never broken his faithfulness. He's never let me down before. So I hope now with eager expectation. I don't hope for it like maybe I hope when I wake up in the morning that it's going to be a nice day outside, but there's just as much chance that it's going to be rainy. It's not that kind of hope. It's a hope that's based on certainty and the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. So I hope with eager expectation and with certainty. So when Mary Magdalene encountered the risen Jesus on that morning, after he had revealed himself to her, he says these words, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." And there's a lot in what he's saying there, but he's saying essentially, Mary, don't hold on to me now. Don't think this is the end of the story. Don't get too connected to me right here and now. I still have work to do. I need to ascend to the Father. And what is the work that he has to do when he ascends to the Father? Well, he told us a couple of chapters earlier in the Gospel of John, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you." And this is beautiful language. This is, in fact, kind of romantic language. In the Jewish culture at that time, if a man wanted to marry a woman, what he would do after discussing, proposing marriage, he would then go back to his father's house, his own father's house, and prepare a place for his bride, usually connected to the father's house. And he would pour himself into preparing this home for his wife. And he would invest a lot of time into it. If he simply went and prepared that home and came back 2 days later to fetch his bride, it would be kind of seen as an insult, because what kind of quality of home is he building in just a couple of days? But the delay would add to the anticipation and even to the romance of what was going on. And so the father then would inspect the house that the son had built for his wife. And when the father decides that it's ready, he'll send the son to go and fetch his bride, that she might come and be with him where he is. And so Jesus' words are to us. He says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." And so my hope is this: Jesus is coming to fetch me. Any day now, my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. This is my living hope. And if it feels like there is a delay, it adds to the romance and the anticipation. The place that he is preparing for me is glorious, and it's worth the wait. And so, because he lives, I wait patiently. I wait patiently. Can we talk about the elephant in the room here for a second? Lockdown. Okay, as I'm speaking about this, as we're recording this, we're supposed to be going into the final days of the original 21-day lockdown plan. But the president has recently announced that it'll be extended by another 2 weeks, which means we're not even halfway there. And some of you are pulling out your hair already. Some of you have been, this has been a tough call, and now to ask for another 2 weeks seems impossible. Waiting is tough. Waiting is tough. But wait we must. And if you're like me, maybe you're already starting to fantasize about the first thing you're going to do when lockdown is lifted. Go to the beach, go for a long cycle, visit some friends, shop for a non-essential item, smash some takeaways. I don't know what it is that you've been fantasizing about, but we must wait. Those things are not here yet. And the only thing that makes the waiting more bearable is that we recognize this is a temporary situation. This is not going to go on forever. It simply can't. So we know that lockdown is going to come to an end soon. So we wait with hope and with a measure of expectation. But so is our current situation as we wait for the triumphant return of our Savior. There is hardship here. There are constraints here. We don't live in the full freedom that our hearts long for and desire. We're in a lockdown of sorts. We're trapped in our earthly bodies that decay, and a world that grows more and more broken by the day. This is not all there is to life. And sometimes we get confused and we get stuck here and we think this is all that there is. No, this is not the life that God has prepared for you. There's something much more glorious on the other side. And we know that this season will come to an end. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Just think again, when lockdown is finally lifted, you're going to forget how frustrating these couple of weeks were. When you again get to celebrate and live with the kind of freedom that we're used to. Paul continues, he says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." We skip a few verses forward, and he says, "Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Maybe you know what this feels like, to groan and groan inwardly, to know what it's like to long for something better and long for something more. And part of that is because the Spirit has awakened you to that, that there is life beyond this. "For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Wait with patience for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his triumphant return. And as we wait, we don't just sort of kick back and kick our feet up and do nothing about it. We want to be found busy with the Lord's work, pouring into his kingdom, proclaiming his goodness to anyone and everyone who will listen. Be busy for the Lord, but we wait patiently for his coming. Be encouraged, friends, as you wait. Don't become disillusioned and despondent. This world is not your home. This is a temporary arrangement. Soon and very soon, the King of Glory will come and the life that you've always wanted, the life you've always longed for, begins in truth. We're going to do something now that the saints, the collection of those in Christ, have been doing for many, many centuries, as he instructed us to do while we wait for him. And we share in the communion elements. And there's these two elements, his body broken for us, represented by the symbol of the bread, and his blood shed for us, symbolized in the grape juice. And as you partake of these elements in your homes, what you're doing, the word says, is proclaiming his death until he comes.
So wherever you may be joining us this evening, this is something that the saints, the Church of Jesus Christ, a meal that they've been sharing for many, many centuries, and a way of remembering Jesus, body broken for us and his blood shed for us. And so I will read a scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, and then we'll share the two elements, the bread and the grape juice, together. Let me read from God's word. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I'm going to ask Jan to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this gift of life that we have received through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. As we take of this bread, we ask that you would remind us that he has given us his all and challenges us to do the same. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ.
As Christ has formed in me.
Scripture continues. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm going to ask Janine to lead us in prayer for the cup.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that when you hung on the cross, you had us in mind. Thank you that we can now hold on to you in this time. Thank you that you shed your blood for us. It cost you your life. It cost you dearly. And please help us to not make that gift cheap. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Blood of Christ shed.
And so, even as we have partaken of these elements with this kind of a blend of sorrow and of joy, there's a sorrow that our sin cost Jesus his life on the cross in the most awful of ways. But this morning, we failed in what we're trying to do if you do not leave here with an overwhelming sense of joy and hope and anticipation and life, life abundantly in Jesus Christ, because he has risen. He is risen indeed, and he is coming to claim his bride, to take us to be with him where he is. Let's close in prayer together. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for Resurrection Sunday. I want to pray for every single person listening to this message. In fact, even beyond that, for every believer, wherever they are in the world, who gathers today in your name to celebrate resurrection life. Father God, fill us with hope. Remind us of what it is that we are hoping for. Prepare our hearts for your imminent and triumphant return. Lord, though we meet in a different way this year, we are not slowed down, and your mission, if anything, is accelerated as we see that day approaching. Father, I pray for every person who feels isolated and alone at this time, who feels the frustration of waiting, that today you would give them a new perspective. Father, that every person who's listening, who has lost hope, who's lost sight of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that today you would inject them once again with that life and that hope. And for those of us who maybe have lost sight of the mission that you've called us to be your proclaimers, that again, Lord God, you would show us how and where and why we should be those who proclaim your death until you come. Lord, we honor and glorify and worship you. So now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful. And he will do it. Amen.